Let's pray. Father, help us never to come to a time like this without an expectation to hear from you. Help us never come to a time like this with our ears closed, our eyes closed, our hearts closed to what you want to say to us. Father, help us to come this morning with our life open to you, to allow you to speak into our hearts and lives. Help us to come with a willing spirit, saying, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. Father, help us to understand the immense power that comes our way because of our relationship with you. And Father, help us to open our hearts and our lives up to that power today, to be able to deal with whatever circumstance, situation, or phase of life that we're walking through. That we know that we face nothing, that your power is not more effective and sufficient than what we face. So Father, speak to us now. Help us to truly open our eyes to what you have to say to us. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I've been looking at the prayer that Paul was praying for the church at Ephesus. He had spent some time in Ephesus chapter 1 talking to them about the blessings that they had in Christ Jesus. It's always good for us to understand the blessings we have in Christ. There were some specific things that Paul wanted the church at Ephesus to understand, that God was blessing them first by adopting them, by choosing them, and by accepting them. Isn't that an awesome thing to contemplate this morning? That the God of this universe wants you to belong to Him. And He has adopted you, and He has chosen you, and He has accepted you. And not only that, He has accepted you, and now He's willing to make you what you've always wanted to be and what you've always desired to be, but you couldn't be because of who you were. And God in Jesus Christ has done on the cross something for you, if you'll place your faith and trust in Him, that you could never do for yourself. He has redeemed you. He has forgiven you. He has assured you of an inheritance with Him. And then through His Holy Spirit, as we live today, Paul talked about the blessing of being sealed by the Holy Spirit. That is, having a relationship with God that nothing can ever take away from you. It is always secure in Him. There's nothing that, there's no way that you'll ever be snatched from His hand. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit, and you have a foretaste of everything God has promised in His Word. Do you understand that? As you read through God's Word, and we've been focusing on that this year, to read through God's Word in a year, that every time you've come across a promise, every time you've come across what God is doing for you in your life today and what He plans to do for you in the future, that you can count on that. You can count on that to happen in your life. But after sharing with them all these blessings, Paul says, here is what I'm praying for you as believers in Jesus Christ. You have these blessings. These blessings are going to help you get through whatever you're going to face. But I want you to know that I'm praying that God will put into your life some things that will also strengthen you and help you in no matter what you face in your life. He prays that they will have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? So that they can get to know Jesus Christ better. I don't know about you, but every experience I walk through, every thing that happens in my life, sometimes become a challenge to me about how well do I really know Christ. Some of the things sometimes that I experience, some things that my loved ones experience, I just step back and go, and ask the question, why God? Why are you doing these kinds of things? And you know what that indicates when I ask God why? It means that really what I'm saying is, I don't know you well enough. We need to know God better. And the only way we'll ever know God better is for Him to put the Spirit, His Spirit of wisdom in us so that we can look into His Word and look at into the situation and circumstances that He allows into our life and to realize that it is not a question of why, it's a question of, God, what are you teaching me? Help me to learn it and help me to know you better. Give me that Spirit of wisdom to be able to walk through every experience and situation of life. And it makes me stronger, but not only stronger, but it helps me to know you better. Prepares me for the next problem. It prepares me for the next experience. It prepares me for the next curveball that's thrown my way. And Paul is praying that they'll receive a revelation. Our revelation is God's Word. The closer we stay to God's Word, the more we realize what God is trying to say to us. God speaks to us through His Word. And then last Sunday, we talked about how He enlightens our heart. He speaks to our heart. He speaks to our heart about our calling that brings us hope. And He speaks to our heart about the inheritance that is ours. An inheritance that we not only experience the foretaste of today through His Holy Spirit's work in our life, but it's an inheritance that we will ultimately see with our faith. It will become sight for us when our bodies wear out or when we go to heaven and we're with Him. We experience that inheritance that Jesus Christ died on the cross to give us. But Paul is quick to add one other thing that he's praying for them about. And it's here in this verse. He prays that they will know the immeasurable greatness of God's power. Oh, we love to talk about God's power, don't we? I like to talk about God's power when I feel a little bit threatened in this life, when I need to sort of fortify my attitude about God. I always step back and talk about how powerful God is. I can depend on God for anything. We all do that, and I think it's good for us to do that. I think it's good for us to remember that God is immense in His power, that there is nothing more powerful than God is. We need to understand that as believers, we are connected to a God that is above everything and that is all-powerful, ever-present, omnipotent. We need to understand that. And here Paul is reminding the church at Ephesus, in the situation they're in, he's reminding them about the immeasurable power of God. I hope that when we remind ourselves of how immeasurable the power of God is, that we're not just trying to whistle in the dark. We're not just trying to make ourselves feel better because we feel like we're overwhelmed with what's going on around us, but that we really believe that God is an all-powerful God, that there is nothing greater than Him, that He is immense in His power and immeasurable in the greatness of His power. Paul wanted the church at Ephesus to understand that. And today, sometimes I wonder in my own life, and maybe you've wondered the same way, and maybe sometimes the way we behave as a church sometimes indicates this. Do we really believe in the power of God? Do we really believe that God can change things? Or do we just seem to sit back and go, you know, God is powerful, but there's just some things that just seems to be more powerful than He is. I don't know if I'm ready to accept and put all my chips in on this powerful God because I see what our government is and I see where our government is going. I see where our world is going. I see what the evil forces of Hamas and Hezbollah and all those things can do. And is God really more powerful than all of that? And if God is more powerful than all of that, then why does he allow all those things to exist? But we need to understand by the grace of God's word and by the power of God's word, by what God's word says, and by what Paul says in verse 19 here, is that God is immensely powerful. And if he is immensely powerful, then it should change the way we live. It should change the way we look at our problems. It should change the way we approach our lives. It should change the way we approach our relationships with one another. It should change the way we look at our world. It should change us to the point where we realize that no matter how it looks with the physical eyes and how we're hearing it with our ears, we know that God is in charge and he is sovereign. I think that's what Paul was trying to get across to the church at Ephesus when he was praying, that you might know the immense power of our God. In this verse, I see several things that Paul is saying about this immense power that he's praying that they'll realize they have and that they will get connected to. First of all, he points out that this power is great. He uses words here describing God's power. He uses the word immeasurable and great, and we're going to see how that's applied to the world we live in just a moment. God's call on our life helps us to look back to the beginning. He prayed, I want you to understand the call of hope that God has on your life. That's looking back to the beginning. When he talks about the inheritance we share, he's focusing our attention to the future and toward the end. But when he talks to us about his immense power, he's talking about everything in between. See, what we need to understand is that there's an inheritance that's coming at the end. There's a calling that comes at the beginning. But in between, we can depend upon the power of God to get us from the beginning to the end. And that's what Paul, I think, is picturing here for us. It's great. His power is great. God's power is sufficient for any situation, for any circumstance, for anything we face. But also here in this verse, Paul is pointing out that God's power is not just great, but that God's power is from God himself. It's not something we gin up. It's not something we try to conjure up. It's not something that we have a formula to add 2 + 2 = power. It's his power, and it's made available to us by his grace and by his presence. The scripture here says his power. If we are going to share in the power that God, that Paul is talking about here, we must look to God in no other place for it. It's so easy for us to look at human aspects of power and thinking that if we can just get our hands on enough of this world's goods and this world's horses and weapons and things, that we will be powerful enough to really make it in this world. But what Paul is saying is that it's not any of that. It's God's power. It only comes when we know him and the surpassing greatness of God. So this power is not only great, but it's from God, but also this power is aimed toward us. When Paul talks about this power toward us, it will probably either elicit one of two emotions from us. First of all, it may elicit from us the emotion of, thank God, it's aimed toward me. Or it may elicit the emotion of, oh no, it's aimed toward me. Well, what Paul is saying here is that his power is aimed toward us, not against us, but for us. Why? Because God is God of love. God is the God that wants to meet us in our needs. God is the God of love that meets us in our infirmities. And God is the God of love that meets us in our insecurities. And he meets us not with a pat on the head and hope you do well, but he meets us with this idea of immeasurable power that we can plug into because of who God is. And his power is always aimed toward us, and it's always aimed for us, and it's always aimed to help us and to aid us. Oh, sometimes we become fearful of God's power because we know that we're not exactly in the place that God wants us. And sometimes God's power is a fearful thing for us. And sometimes if we're not careful and we're not coming to God in obedience and in submission, his power can seem to be crushing upon us. But by and large, God's immense power is intended to be toward us, not against us, to help us and to aid us. So his power is great, and his power is from God, from him, and his power is toward us, but also his power is released in our life when we believe. You might say this morning, well, you know, we are always talking about the power of God, but to tell you the truth, Pastor, I've never seen his power really made evident in a lot of things, in a lot of ways. And sometimes I wonder if God is even there. And sometimes I wonder if God even cares. And sometimes I wonder if God even knows what's going on in my life. We need to understand that God's power is unlocked not by our questions and not by our doubts, but God's power is unlocked in our life when we believe. When we just come to him and say, Lord, I don't see it. I have not experienced it. Sometimes I wonder if it's there, but nevertheless, I will trust you. Isn't that what the psalmist said over and over again in Psalms? We see him talking about, speaking out into the darkness, saying, where are you, God? How long will this go on in my life? And yet, the psalmist always came down to this. He always came down to say, nevertheless, though I can't see you and I can't feel you, and sometimes I wonder where you are, nevertheless, I will trust you. That's belief. And when the psalmist would say that, and when we say that, it opens our life up to experience the power of God. Oh, I'm not saying that we experience a power that the world looks at what's going on in our life and says, wow. But it's the kind of power that deep inside of us we realize it's there. And it's supplying our needs. And it's encouraging us. And it's fortifying us. And though nobody else may realize it and nobody else may see it, we know that it's there because we have placed our faith and trust in God. And that has unlocked the power, this immense power of God upon our life. It's unlocked when we trust and rely on God. It's unlocked when we come to the point in situations and circumstances of our life where we surrender to what God wants in us. It's that kind of surrender that Job had when he said to God, even if you slay me, I will trust you. It's that kind of belief. It's that kind of belief that comes to the point where we're willing to honestly look at our lives and approach him in repentance. It means we don't have to live in defeat or doubt or depression. We can live in victory. Now, I'm not saying that things get easier. I'm not saying that everything just works out and you can see the sunrise at the end necessarily. But I am saying that there is victory at the end. There is strength to get through to the end. And there's a certainty that comes into our life that wipes out all doubt. This power is unlocked when we believe. It is a power from God. It is a power that's aimed toward us, and it is a power that is great. But this is power that also is evident. It is evident. This power from God is made evident, Paul says, according to the mighty working of God's strength. This power is more than a theory. It is rooted in events and happenings. That's what happens when we look over our lives and we sometimes wonder, well, God, what are you doing? And yet, as we step back and we look at our lives, we can see different places in our lives that God showed up and God came in power and God worked some things out, just seemed to like nothing was going to work out, and God seemed to put everything in line. That's a powerful thing when we see God work like that. The power is more than a theory. It's actually something that works. God's power is reflected in His strength. Aren't you glad? That's where God's power comes from. God's power doesn't come from your strength, doesn't come from how smart you are. Thank goodness. It doesn't come by how clever you are or from who you might be with and who might be with you. It's reflected in His strength. God's power is manifested in His work. If you really want to know about the power of God, look at God's Word and see what He did in other people's lives, how He brought things about in other people's lives. Look at David and Goliath, the story of David and Goliath, and how God did something in this little short man, ruddy-faced young man, as he stood before Goliath in faith, unlocked the power of God, and his slingshot became a mighty weapon that downed the fiercest giant of the day. God's power is reflected in His strength and not our strength. It's a power manifested in His work. When things really get on top of me and when things maybe get on top of you, what we need to do is look into God's Word and see other men and women that went through the same thing and how God came to work in their life. And we always see that when God worked in their life, He worked in a powerful way. He always worked with enough to get the job done. Notice what Paul said here about the exercise of this power. How did God exercise this power? Notice, Paul says He exercised this power in what? By raising Christ from the dead. First thing we need to do as believers is when we are trying to understand about God's power is to look at the cross and then look at the empty tomb and realize that that very same power that brought Jesus out of that tomb is the very same power that's going to bring you out of your problems. And is it going to work in your life? And is it going to work in your situation? He exercised this power in Christ by raising Him from the dead. But He didn't stop there. He reached into death and He yanked Jesus out and He put Jesus on the throne above everything. Notice how He describes it. Far above every ruler and authority and power and dominion and every title given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. What power? God was showing us this is where the power is. The seat of power is not in Washington and it's not in the capitals of this world. The seat of power is at the right hand of God. And Jesus is there and He is in charge. But He didn't stop there. Verse 22, and He, God, subjected everything under His feet. Everything is under His authority. Everything is under His feet. He has conquered everything. And God, not only that, but God has appointed Him to be head over everything for the church. You realize that the church is one of the most powerful organizations ever created? because God has given us the power of the resurrected Christ. Now, we don't wield this power in ways that we want to. We submit to that power and allow that power to use us and to work through us. He goes on to talk about how the church is the body of Christ and that Christ fills all things in every way. No place you can go without Christ being there. No place you can walk without understanding that Christ is there too, because he is in all and he fills all. That's power. That's power. Well, what does this mean? To have this kind of power, have this kind of power at our disposal, what does this mean? What should it teach us? Well, first of all, I think it should teach us that God's purposes cannot be stopped. No matter how the world looks and no matter how things seem to be lined up against God and the church and whatever, because of this great power, God's purposes can never be stopped. It also means that God is in sovereign control. No matter how it looks to our eyes, no matter how it hears in our ears, no matter what may look like around us, we know that God is in sovereign control. And we know that Jesus is superior to everything. Paul has already said he's in all and through all, and he subjected everything under his feet. So Jesus is superior to everything. No matter what kind of problem I might experience in my life, no matter what kind of circumstances and situations we face, we can always look at them, no matter how big they may seem, and realize that they're not bigger than Jesus. This also tells us that God is able to totally save us and totally keep us. We don't have to wonder if God is powerful enough to keep us in his saving grace. He totally saves us and he totally secures us. It also tells us that Jesus fills and completes everything by his power. It also tells us that Jesus is head of the church, this body, and if I am right with Jesus, I should be right with the church. It also tells us that Jesus is sufficient and enough in every situation. He's the source of our blessing, the source of our provision, and in Jesus Christ, everything, I have everything I need. That's what it means when we talk about, when Paul was saying, I want you to know the immeasurable greatness of God. Are we ready to believe that today? Are we ready to look at our world and say, God, I know you're in charge? Martin Lloyd-Jones said this: take all the dictionaries of the world, exhaust all the vocabularies, and when you have added them all together, you have still not begun to describe the greatness of God's power. I don't know about you this morning, but I want to get in that line. I want to be in that line. I have proven it well that I do not have enough power to do it on my own. I need God's power in my life. I need God's power not because I want to rule it over others and not because I want to say, hey, look at me, but I want that power because I want to be able to say, oh, look at God and look at what he's doing in, around, and hopefully through me. Let's bow our heads. Father, we come to you this morning thanking you for this immense power that you've made available to us. Father, we pray that that power be evident in our life and evident in us as we serve you. I pray, Father, we never limit you, but that we would always believe that power is there, and that believe that power that can make a difference. Father, this morning we come to this supper table to celebrate your body and your blood, how you gave yourself for us on the cross and how you shed your blood for us. We think about, Father, that day for some of us many years ago, for some of us maybe not long ago, when we placed our faith and trust in you and you saved us by your power. And Father, now we come to this table and we say thank you. Father, we know that there's nothing magical about the juice. There's nothing magical about the wafer. But it's just a symbol of what you've done for us, a symbol of your body, a symbol of your blood. But oh, a reflection of the reality of your grace and mercy and what it's done in us. So Father, lead us now as we remember what you've done for us, and we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our men are going to come forward as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Gary, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Our Lord, we thank you that we can do this in remembrance of you. We thank you that you provided your body and your blood so that we could be saved. And we do this once again in remembrance of your great love for us, your sacrifice on the cross. Your body was broken. Your blood was shed. By your blood, there is remission of sin. We thank you that we can celebrate, and we do this in remembrance of you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
And truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the bread of life. In the same way also he took the cup after supper and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Les, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we stand here overwhelmed by your love and your grace, what you've elected to do. You've lifted our transgressions from us, as ugly as they are to you, and no one else could have done so. And yet, Lord, Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice, suffered the pain, and we are free from that. So, Father, we don't know how to give you all the glory and the love that you deserve and the honor, but, Lord, please accept it from us as best we can. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks be to God for this unspeakable gift. Thank you. Now let's stand together and we'll sing a song and go out.
Great service, and thank you for coming. We're going to close out by singing, There is a Redeemer. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, hope for sinners slain. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see his face. There I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Thanks so much for coming. Go out and make a difference in somebody's life this week.